Welcome to Sports Business Secrets. I'm your host, Kevin Tarka. This podcast is specifically designed to share secrets from experts in the sports business world to help you along your own path to success in this industry. Each episode is packed with lessons and insights that never expire. You'll hear from general managers of professional teams to CEOs of sports tech companies to agents, coaches, players, and everything in between. I invite you to join me in real time on my personal journey of representing players and coaches, traveling the world, and always finding a way to battle through obstacles in this competitive industry. Good morning. I have been in Hong Kong for just about 2 weeks now, so I figured it was a good time to give you a little bit more feedback on the basketball scene here and just Hong Kong in general. So for those who are not aware, Hong Kong is a special administrative region. It's essentially two governments, one country is what a lot of people say. So when I've been to 40 countries, this is the 40th country. Yes, this is considered China. So if I visit Beijing or another city in the future, I would not say that is my 41st country. Although that's just considered and sometimes called mainland versus Hong Kong here. So on the economy and currency side, for those who are interested, which is relevant to anyone who travels here, let alone professional basketball players who are going to have a contract here, it's important to obviously understand the local currency in relation to the US dollar, just to kind of gauge how expensive or not expensive things are going to be. So the Hong Kong dollar is the local currency. And right now, for one US dollar, you get 7.8 Hong Kong dollars. So it's essentially 1 to 8. So obviously the exchange rates need to be compared to the cost of living and the inflation and the price of local goods. And without diving into a full economics lesson here, which I'm definitely not qualified to give, I'll give you a few examples. Now, keep in mind, as I discuss in every single country I go to, it's similar to traveling in the States in regards to the spender's discretion, right? So in other words, you could live frugally or you could spend a lot of money. It just depends on your preference. So if I wanted to spend 1,000 US dollars here in Hong Kong, I'd probably go stay for a night in the Ritz-Carlton and have a nice 5-course meal. And that would probably just about do it. Same in New York City, right? Or I could find an Airbnb for cheap and eat local food outside of the really touristy and popular spots, and it would be a very different outcome financially. So the Airbnb that I stayed in for the first week was a very tiny, I don't know, maybe 100 square foot studio. So very tiny. I mean, Hong Kong is worse than New York City in regards to the space that you get for the dollar, at least generally speaking, most places. So I had a bed, a tiny shower and bathroom, a little sink with a mini stove, but not worth getting groceries and cooking in that Airbnb. But for Hong Kong, unlike New York City, you could definitely find that local food spot for a decent price. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about fast food here. I'm not talking about going to Dunkin' Donuts or McDonald's or, getting yourself a donut and coffee or a breakfast sandwich and a coffee for $5. I mean, you could do that anywhere in the world. That's a separate conversation for the way that America thinks about food. Anyways, here, unlike New York City, you could get a solid local meal, even though it's an expensive place. You can get a local meal like rice and fish or sushi or beef and noodles or just a local hearty meal for about 80 Hong Kong dollars, which is around 10 US dollars. So it's solid if you wanted to. But ideally, if you don't want to be skimping and searching and going outside the main areas, you should be ready to spend about 160 to 200 Hong Kong dollars to get a nice meal, especially if you're talking like the main locations like Central, Shangwan, Causeway Bay. I mean, anywhere where that's really, really packed with people or touristy, it's gonna be around around 20 bucks or even more US dollars. Another staple in my everyday diet, which is how I kind of compare and contrast the cities and countries that I'm in, is coffee, obviously. So similar to the States, you could find a smaller local coffee shop and pay a few bucks. You can, you could find a 7-Eleven here, or just like in the States, a Dunkin' Donuts and get your really cheap coffee. Or you can go to a high-end boutique coffee shop, fancy place, or order your grande vanilla shaken frappuccino for $8 or $9 US dollars. So that's kind of how I gauge, the level of pricing for a city. Now, here it is pretty expensive anywhere you go. It is really tough to find a coffee, a good coffee at least, outside of your 7-Eleven quick cup of hot coffee for under $5 US dollars. It's difficult. So, your Americano is going to be around 40 Hong Kong dollars. When it's hot, I'm a big iced coffee guy. And lately I've been on I've been feeding espresso tonics. And that's around, I got one this morning for around 45 Hong Kong dollars, something like that. So $6 US dollars. So not ideal to be spending that every single day. But it's all relative. And again, it's case by case. If I have an Airbnb for a week, I'm usually hitting the local market and cooking meals and making my own coffee, making sure I have the proper kitchen utensils and spending a little bit more on the Airbnb in order to save some money on groceries and actually cook my meals and, cook breakfast at least to save some money. Enough about the living side. Let's get to the hoop side. So although I've been here for almost 2 weeks, I still haven't really had enough time to dive fully into the entire hoops ecosystem here, but obviously I have a pretty good idea. So in high school and college, which I'm not going to go dive deep into now, in high school they have three levels: D1, D2, and D3, which is pretty obvious, similar to like college in the States. D1, D2, D3, different levels there. And college, I'm still working on some of those details basketball wise. There's not too much going on here. Obviously, there's a few teams I know have legit teams. But before I dive into that fully, I want to educate myself a little bit more on the university stuff here. Although there's about 7 million people here, it's not that big. It's not that big of an area. So onto the pros. There's actually a lot of pro leagues here. So you have A2 and A1, which are two pro local leagues. There's in A1, which is the top local league, there's 10 teams. And one of the top 10 teams is Hong Kong Eastern, although they lost to the South China team in this year's championship. But Hong Kong Eastern also plays in the ABL, which is one of the international competitions called the Asian Basketball League, not to be confused with the East Asia Super League, which I will get into. And then they have, above that, they have a team that plays in the NBL. So the NBL, which is the league that my client Donovan Smith plays in, there's actually just one team here in Hong Kong that plays there, but that is the China NBL, and it's the second tier team in China. The new team here that plays is the Hong Kong Bulls, which was started up to be located here in Hong Kong to hopefully potentially join the CBA in the future. But again, the NBL is the league right under the CBA. So there's 12 total teams. And it's a different schedule than a typical season. So it's more of like a summer/preseason league with a shortened schedule. And a lot of players will play in the NBL and then in the CBA in terms of local players. And I guess some imports as well, obviously. So originally the plan was that you were allowed to have 4 imports to a team, but I don't think any team has 4. To my knowledge, you can now have 3. Although there are some rules, so you can only play 2 imports per game. So you can't play all 3 imports. And then there are game rules as well, where one import can play in quarters 1 and 4, but both imports can simultaneously play in the second and third quarter. So that obviously makes it tough and comes down to strategy and, you know, what your opponent's doing and which imports are playing that day. So it definitely makes it interesting, you know, adding all these different rules and in regards to who's going to be on the roster that day for imports and how do you decide that? And then obviously, you know, for playing time, you know, who do you play when you're only allowed to play one of them? It gets really interesting in terms of salary. So like many places, this could range very drastically, but the pay in this league is pretty solid. I can go anywhere from $6,000 or $7,000 per month up to $15,000 or $20,000. And I imagine that there are some outlier situations per usual that teams will pay more. If that seems like a lot, well, first of all, it is relative to European salaries. And if you're a player listening to this and you're like, shit, I want to be there, I'm going to go play there. Yes, it's a great place to shoot for, but it's very difficult to get to. Like if you're having trouble getting a job in Europe, don't think that you can just jump into this league. That's not happening, right? Similar to it, a similar analogy is the G League, right? So in terms of guys that don't have a job anywhere and they think you can just make a G League roster, it's very difficult, right? Do guys end up getting lucky and being in the right place at the right time and make it through tryouts? Yeah, sure. But it's very rare. So it's the same thing here. You need a resume of proof and skill set. And some teams have some guards too, but mostly you need to be a bigger wing or a versatile big and or have a lot of experience at high levels, whether that's NBA. If you look at the imports, there's a lot of guys that have had a cup of tea in the NBA, that have played in the EuroLeague, that have played in the CBA, that have played in high-level places in Europe, or they've played 4, 5, 6 seasons and have been working their way up in Europe and abroad in order to get an opportunity here, like Donovan. So the league goes from early July to early September, and then they have playoffs. Like I said, there's 12 teams. So the top 8 teams are going to advance to the playoffs, and then they have a best-of-3 series for the quarterfinals. And then the semifinals and finals are best-of-5 and then best-of-7 series, respectively. So it could end up being a 3-month season, which is solid. I mean, it's, you know, if you've listened to me before or read any of the stuff that I've written, I am completely bullish on the Asian markets in terms of sports business. But yes, in terms of basketball in the next 5 to 10 years, even the next couple of years. So getting opportunities to open up additional opportunities in the Asian markets, something like playing in the NBL or even playing in one of the local leagues here, that's you know, it's a great opportunity and something that you should shoot for. Obviously, it depends on your resume, and it's more difficult. So for some people, it's gonna be more difficult than others. But you know, I love where the basketball business is going in this region. So moving up the ladder, finally to the top of the ladder, from local and high school to pro hoops to the NBL, the top level is obviously the East Asia Super League. And that is discussed in regards to Hong Kong because the Bay Area Dragons will be based here, not to mention the East Asia Super League headquarters is here in Hong Kong. So quick refresher on the East Asia Super League. The upcoming season, 2023-2024, kicks off in October, and there's going to be 8 qualifying teams from East Asia's top domestic leagues. So that's going to be the Japan B League, the top 2 teams, the Korean Basketball League, the top 2 teams, the Philippine Basketball Association, top 2 teams, the champion from the Taiwan P League, and then the 8th team is going to be the Greater China's Bay Area Dragons, which again are going to be home based here. So that's what I got for you. For Hong Kong, obviously a lot more to explore here, but it's exciting. I mean, it's, you know, I think we live in a very complex and most definitely in regards to the economy and politics, a polarized world. And so anytime that you can get involved with a project or, you know, specifically sports, be involved with a league or a team that can bring people together, bring communities together in the East Asia Super Leagues, context, bring countries around the world together. It's a really cool thing. So That's all I got for you today. Stay tuned. We've got a lot more content coming your way from the Asian region soon. Have a great day, and we'll see you soon. Thanks again for listening, my friends. If you enjoyed the episode or if it brought you any value at all, it would mean the world to me if you could give it a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. If you share it on social media, make sure you tag me at Kevin Tarka. If there are any topics that you want me to dive into or any guests you'd love for me to have on the show, just shoot me a message and I will do my best to make it happen. Have an amazing day and hope to see you back here soon.